Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study, Galatians chapter 2, we were talking about people that want to get saved, but don't want to make a commitment to serve the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I've sat in homes and tried to talk to people, take them through the plan of salvation and so forth, and they get saved. And I say, now, the next thing you need to do is get married. You know, they're living together in adultery. I don't know. You know, we can't really afford that right now. Wait a minute, aren't you living together? Yeah, but cost for a license. I'll buy your license for you. And I put them in a spot, and then they don't want you to buy their license. You know, no, can't do that. Well, then you're not really wanting the commitment of marriage. And so it makes me wonder about your salvation, too. What is this? You're praying for God to save you from your sin, but you don't want him to take your sin from you? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Well, in the same manner, as a Christian, we have a commitment to Jesus Christ because we're called the bride of Christ. It is a commitment to the relationship. It's not just the moving in and living together that you're there on Sunday. Some maybe even Sunday and Wednesday. No, it is a committed relationship to Jesus Christ, the Christian. And so there's a commitment. There's that sense of divine mission. You are here on this earth because the Lord has kept you here instead of taking you straight to heaven. Know what that is and fulfill it. So now with that backdrop, we want to look into this chapter and first see the report in verses 1 through 10. And so it starts off saying, then 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, here we see the return of the mission team in verses 1 and 2. This is referring to the historical account as recorded in Acts chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. You remember that it said, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them, which included Titus, as he's already said in verse 1, should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, these are men who are trying to add a work for a man to be saved. So they think, well, look, if we tell them they need to be circumcised, no, then that keeps part of our law in focus. And these Judaizers were trying to add a work to salvation. Well, my friend, even baptism does not save. Now, there are a lot of people that think that you're not saved if you've never been baptized. Well, my friend, the thief on the cross did not get baptized. And sometimes we make the same mistake as the Judaizers. The Judaizers said, if you're not circumcised, you're not going to heaven. And so others say, if you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. And all of that misses the point of the inner man, the spiritual man. And misses what the circumcision would picture, the circumcision of heart, or the baptism, dead to the old life, risen to walk in a new life. Now, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've been to a Baptist church, you'll see us clean the back, plunge them under the water, and bring them right back up. And, of course, that is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it is there identifying with Christ in that, and it's also showing they're risen to walk in newness of life. And so, we have that today. And in like manner, circumcision did not save in the Old Testament, but it was a picture of the need to circumcise the heart. Now, verse 1 informs us that Titus was taken with them as well. Now, what a testimony that Titus will provide as an illustration of a truly born-again, spirit-filled man who is uncircumcised in flesh, but he is circumcised in heart. Now, Titus was not mentioned by name in Acts 15 because there was no need there to mention him by name. But here, it is needed because of the issue that is being dealt with here in the book of Galatians. Paul and Barnabas were sent out in Acts chapter 13. Now, Peter previously had opened the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts 10. But for the most part, his ministry was primarily among the Jews. They would be ready to hear from these men, whom they respected greatly. So bringing Titus is an act of wisdom that makes a vivid picture and case for what Paul and Barnabas are preaching for our Lord. And so verse 2 goes on again and says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Now, when he goes up to communicate to them the gospel that they preach among the Gentiles, he adds that he came by revelation. That is why Titus was brought along. You see, the Lord gives wisdom. Now, I would think, hey, all these guys are about circumcision. I really don't know if I want to really offend these guys because they're the leaders of the New Testament church. And they were all Jews and were circumcised at birth. And they may be offended. That's, you know, and that would be the thing that a lot of people would think. But then to bring them, they're thinking would hurt our cause. But oh no. No, it will not hurt their cause. Instead, it will only strengthen what they're teaching that God has given them. Now, you'll notice that he was not sent for and ordered to report by some council of the church. But there is an important doctrinal matter for the council of the church. And you might say, with which many local churches of like faith that were formed, they will all need to deal with this matter. And so they need to do this so it spreads not as a cancer would spread through a human body. They don't need this cancer spreading through the churches of like faith. Now, by the way, another reason that we are independent is that this keeps us from a church hierarchy who dictate to many local churches corrupt doctrine, as you've seen, for an example, some churches now are ordaining homosexuals for their pastors. Well, an independent church that is dependent totally, 100% on the Lord Jesus Christ, but independent of man, is better off. Now, by the way, this council is not a council, a board of deacons in a church. It's not a board of elders. It's not a board of anything else of that nature. These are a group of pastors that get together, and it's determining a doctrinal stand. If these churches are going to have a unity among one another, then they need to agree on their doctrinal statement. It's like a statement of faith. So we're Baptists. We believe that you must baptize by immersion. That's a good example of that. We talk about the Lord's Supper. Maybe we talk about salvation once for all. Maybe we talk about so many other things that come in. We talk about separation from the world, which Jesus taught. So there are so many things that we can teach. And so we come down and we get that agreement going across the board. Now again, we're told Paul came up by revelation. Now when God directs a church to call a certain minister, and at the same time speaks directly to the minister to go to that church, it is certain that God has a plan which he wants that church to carry out. See, God prepares his church for a servant and his servant for a church. Now, your church may be looking for a new pastor. What should you do? I think it'd be wise if the whole church would come together and have a night of prayer and fasting. Not a night of coffee and donuts with a 2 or 3 sentence prayer once an hour. Oh, no, no. This is where people are seeking God, asking God to give them the man they want, to prepare that man's heart and help this to know how to work together for the glory of God. And to be specific, to pray, Lord, we need a man who is filled with the Holy Spirit, a man who knows the Word, a man who is sensitive to that Spirit, a man who is believes the doctrines of this Bible, holy, separate, believing in the deity of Christ, believing that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and on we could go. And so, I think that it's wise when you look for a pastor's a church that you make sure that this is a great matter of prayer. Sometimes people have a board, and a lot of times it's a deacon board, and they send them out, and they set in a few churches, and it's always a larger church, usually, or 90% of the time, it's a larger church than what they have. And they go out to hear somebody preach. Then after they get a few resumes in, or they hear some other things, then they have a man come by, and they may have 3 or 4 men come by. And whoever entertains them the best, he's the one they call. And I've had people ask me, how should we go about this? I says, well, look, you all pray about it. You get down together and ask God to lead you to the one that he wants you to have come in and candidate. When he candidates and he gets done, you question him. And when your questioning and answer period is over, then the church within a week or two ought to vote on him. You say, well, shouldn't we bring in 3 or 4 others? No, vote on him. You bring in 3 or 4 others, and then you wait, and then you vote on 3 or 4 others. You know what? You're going to have 20% for this guy, 35% for another guy. You're going to have 10% for this guy, and on you could go. And so then you have a divided church.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.